Retail sales for August were out, up 1.1% on an annual basis. In July, that print was up 2%. And in the month prior, retail sales were up 2.4%. This shows somewhat of a decline in consumer appetite to go shopping. That's on an annual basis. So what can we read around the state of the consumer? Well, I'm joined on the line by Tsitsi Hatenda Matika. She's the head of retail investments at Absa. Thanks very much for joining us, Tsitsi. It's been a long time. So what were the key drivers of the albeit slower increase in the retail sales number for August?
So just to highlight that this was quite a disappointing result. Reuters had a forecast of 1.5%, and on our side we had 1.6%. So the drivers that we saw, in particular on the weaker side, was that textiles, clothing and footwear were quite weak, and pharmaceuticals and goods were also weak. So we're seeing a trend where things like household furniture, which were holding up the retail sales for a while, are becoming a bit weaker and quite soft. And this is in line with what we're seeing with consumers and how the outlook has been in general.
In your view, what's the condition of the consumer? I mean, just now we were just chatting to the National Credit Regulator about the $1.9 trillion debt that consumers are in, according to their research, with about 260 billion rand of that being attributable to unsecured lending.
So the numbers are staggering and quite worrying. So with this new amendment to the bill, one can anticipate that we'll see quite a bit of tightening in terms of the credit lenders now reassessing who they lend to and how they do that. And when you talk about the state of the consumer, I mean, if you look at South Africa and how growth has been so far, there's anemic growth this year. And when you look at higher administered prices and taxes that have been coming through, it's just constraining the disposable income. And
yes,
when you also look at the fuel prices that have been going up, the last increase we had was 11 cents. So the consumer continues to be under that strain, and it's just making it harder and harder.
So with the economy really moving at a snail's pace and all these expenses that you've just highlighted, what observations have you made around average wage increases this year?
So that hasn't been too good, and this is in line with the fact that government was one of the larger employers with the bigger increases that we'd see year on year. So we, Eskom, for instance, we used to see massive increases. That has deteriorated, and for good reason. So these are also some of the things that are putting quite a constraint on consumers, where government as an employer is under fiscal strain and cannot actually give those massive increases that they used to give.
Yes.
And we've also seen the surveys that they've done on employers in the retail sector, in wholesale, in manufacturing, and they're coming back to say that their hiring intentions are quite limited. So this also gives you a sense where we're going to see unemployment numbers actually increasing for Q3.
Eskom has done it again. You've already mentioned Eskom. They're cutting power because of capacity issues. This directly hits retailers, especially those who can't afford generators and the like. And this is really negative for not just the retail sector, but the wider economy.
Yes. So we've seen previously, earlier on this year, when Eskom was load shedding, we saw a massive impact on shopping malls, for instance. So not only is it an impact on people not being able to actually buy because the tolls are down, but also on security. So people feeling like going into a shopping mall or going anywhere, you're quite exposed when the electricity is out. So those little factors have actually impacted the retail sector in previous instances where we saw Eskom load shedding. And this new bout of load shedding will definitely impact not only the retail sector, but also GDP, which filters back into the whole system.
Yes. So, Tsitsi, when you got into the office this morning and saw the email or the Twitter message around Eskom, did you begin your extrapolations around the economy impact in terms of rands and cents? How much is going to cost the economy? And of course, you know, we have March as a benchmark for what could actually happen to the economy if this goes on for too long.
Yes. So going back to March, I think the calculations were around 2 billion a day that was being lost in terms of load shedding. This obviously is dependent on how many hours and how widespread the load shedding is. But just taking that into account, when we were looking at, before the retail sales prints, we were looking at the Q3 GDP tracker, which is where we try and see where GDP will come out. And that was tracking at around 0.3% before the retail sales number came out. And this just gives you a sense of that is way below the 1% that we need to actually come to a 0.6% in total for the year. So it gives you a sense of how behind we are on those targets and what that impact will be on our annual GDP numbers.
Eskom has become a dirty word in the nation's lexicon. If things are not sorted out speedily, presumably this is going to put a spanner in the works of the upcoming investment summit, because investors, they want, you know, they want a steady supply of power. And also Moody's is also going to give its verdict on our rating come 1st of November.
Absolutely. So this is quite the timing couldn't be worse.
Yeah.
As you said, as we're going into a very critical time where not only were investors looking out for the Eskom white paper, we wanted to hear what the plan is going forward. This is a demonstration of how the credibility of Eskom is now somewhat compromised. So, you know, they did promise that things would improve going forward, and one has to question that if we're having load shedding in summer, where the grid shouldn't be under as much pressure as you would see in winter.
Yes.
What does this actually mean for the outlook? So I think this is quite a bad thing to happen at this point. And as you said, with Moody's coming up and also the medium-term budget speech. So
yes.
It makes it very difficult for the Minister of Finance to come out and give us an outlook that people can actually believe, given that February numbers were quite scary and negative, but we're anticipating even scarier numbers to come out.
Hmm.
So it's this sort of thing that just compromising not only government, but the quality of what they put out to investors.
Yeah. Titi, thank you very much for your time as always. That was Titi Hatenda Matika. She's the head of retail investments at Absa.